Many of us, many of you would say, yo, God knows I'm not perfect, and that's true, but the follow-up response to that may not necessarily be what you think it is. Let's talk about it. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. You know, I'm just going to be totally honest with you. And not that you wouldn't already know this. I mean, if you interact with this content at Caffeinated Christianity at all, like if you have ever used any of this, you know, read any of our stuff, listened to any of our podcasts, you know, I'm the most inconsistent content uploader in world history. Now, some of that is for legitimate reasons. Some of that is because, you know, I mean, it's like with any hobby, right? I mean, there's some days you feel super motivated. There's some days you just don't. And I've gone through a tremendous amount of life change in the last like 3 months, right? Got a full-time job now as an associate pastor, praise God. I have moved cities. I now live in my own townhouse, been trying to get furniture, blah, blah, and blah. Not going to bore you with the details, but stuff's been going on, man. It's been kind of crazy. And so that's why, you know, I'm not even really going to make excuses. That's just the nature of the beast. I'm the worst content uploader in world history. Caffeinated Christianity would be doing something miraculous by this point in my life if I wasn't so daggum inconsistent. But you know what, man? That's just the way things are. And yeah, I'm actually going to talk about this topic vaguely today. But I digress. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black, the content is definitely unqualified, and the battle is already won. Caffeinated Christianity is a blog, podcast, and creative content website dedicated to practical Christianity from an evangelical worldview. If that scares you away, no offense, not my problem. Our verse of the episode is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. We're actually going to read this whole section, but let me give you the verse to start out with. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Let me give a few shout-outs really quick before we start. This is something I started doing a few podcast episodes ago, and I really like it because it allows me to get my sarcasm out before I begin the actual content of the episode. And I don't know, man. It's cool to give shout-outs. So shout-out number one, Dr. Pepper Zero. Now, this new zero sugar soda craze, not going to lie, I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable about it because I feel like there's something in these sodas that we're going to find out in 15 years was actually really super terrible for us. But let me be honest with you, as somebody who tries to take my nutrition fairly seriously, I'm on the zero sugar soda wave, bro. And so Dr. Pepper drops a zero sugar Dr. Pepper. I really like Dr. Pepper. If you don't, it's because you don't have taste buds. And I was like, yo, I'm going to definitely try Dr. Pepper Zero. Going to give it a shot. Going to see if it's good or not. And let me tell you, bro, it is really good. I'm a big fan, okay? I've been drinking Mountain Dew Zero kind of heavy. Shout out Thomas Broom. Shout out Scott Grubb. And when they finally drop, because I mean, Coke Zero, I'm not gonna lie to you, Coke Zero is kind of mid, not gonna lie. But Dr. Pepper drops a zero sugar soda, I'm like, yo, I gotta give this a shot. And I did, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm kind of a fan, big fan of that. Let me give my second shout out, Pastor Mike Winger. Now, if you don't know who that is, I don't know him personally, he's got a YouTube channel. Now, I'm not here to endorse his theology and his doctrine wholesale, I would never do that really for anybody. But man, he does something really cool. He does what's called Ask Pastor Mike, and he takes questions on the fly, and he takes hard questions. And I appreciate his willingness to answer a lot of tough questions about Christianity. That's Pastor Mike Winger. He's got a YouTube channel. I've been watching him kind of heavy lately. I'm a big fan, man. He's taught me a lot of things, and just his willingness to interact with certain concepts and topics is helpful because even if I disagree with him, he's trying to derive his argument from the Bible. And if we're both trying to argue from the Bible, that's a much easier conversation to have. So shout out Mike Winger. My third shout out is my new employer, my new church family, my new place to really sink my roots. And that would be Westside Fellowship in Elon, North Carolina. Absolutely 100% an amazing church. Praise God I'm there. It's only an act of God that they even hired me because I'm super unqualified. But man, I'm really, really super excited. I'm the associate pastor of youth, young adults, and young families, which just means I'm the youth pastor. I do Bible study for the young adults, and then I do my other associate pastor type duties, announcements, home visits, whatever. I really love it. I really love Jacob Danley. He's the senior pastor, my coworker. I really love the elders. I really love the team of people we've got. I love the families. I love the kids. Man, it's awesome. I love Westside Fellowship. I legitimately love it. It's awesome. And so I'm just super grateful. Sydney, Kate, and I, my fiance, we're super grateful to be there. But with that, let me actually get into the content of this episode. Now, we're going to drop a subsequent blog with this podcast too, so I encourage you to read that so you can get a little more info. But we're doing this series on myths of Christianity, and one of these myths, this would be myth number 4, I guess. I've got that written down. Hopefully that's correct. Hopefully I can count. I don't know. I was a history major. The fourth myth we're going to cover is the myth this: God knows I'm not perfect, and that's okay with Him. Now, we know so many people that are guilty of saying this, right? Well, you know, God knows I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not perfect, but, you know, nobody's perfect. It's like, okay, yes, like all those things are true, right? All those things are true. But is that acceptable? That's the follow-up question, right? God knows I'm not perfect. Yes, but is that acceptable? Now, I played college football. College football is awesome. I really enjoyed it. It was really hard, but I really enjoyed it. One of the things, probably the primary takeaway from college football that I learned from my coaching staff specifically, shout out Tommy Spangler, shout out Kent Haltewanger, try saying that 10 times fast, is the concept of never settling. Now, let me give you an example of this. So I was the long snapper. If you don't know what that is, go look it up. I'm not going to explain it to you. But when we would practice, right, when I would be doing snaps at practice, Coach Spangler and Coach Halt, they were demanding perfection. Like, you've got to be snapping this speed. It's got to be at this location, right? We got to be like, they wanted perfection. And as a young player, that was really frustrating, right? I mean, because it's impossible to be perfect, right? I mean, you can snap 3 or 4 times in a row, they'll be great. You can snap 10 times in a row, they'll be great. But eventually, you're going to have a messed up snap and they're going to yell at you for it. And that became really frustrating of like, I feel like they were constantly on my back about being perfect. And I'm like, Coach, I can't be perfect. Like, if I was better, I would be better. And I just wanted to make excuses. But I learned over time, they weren't really necessarily asking me to be perfect. I mean, they were, but they're not dumb enough to think that I can be perfect, right? I mean, no one intuitively thinks that about other people. What they were teaching us is to never be satisfied, to never settle, right? If you're going to snap a 0.7, snap a 0.6. Right, if you got 5 in a row, make it 6 in a row. Right, if you can run a 4.4, run a 4.3. Right, you're making a B plus, make an A minus. Right, you know, we just won the game by 1 point, let's win it by 2 points. Right, the whole concept was to never settle. Right, they know I'm not a perfect, absolutely world class long snapper, but they're trying to help me hold myself to a standard of never settling. Right, well, that entire motivational concept applies to all kinds of parts of life, not the least of which is your Christian walk and faith in who Christ is. Let me read this to you. This is 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We're going to stop at verse 6. We're going to talk about this. John says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins," right? The atoning sacrifice. "And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." Right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Verse 3, "And by this we know that we have come to know him," Jesus, "if we keep his commandments." Right? Jesus said, John 14:15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Verse 4, "Whoever says, I know Jesus, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know we are in him." Verse 6. "Whoever says he abides in him," him being Jesus, "ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Now, we love to throw around this, "Well, God knows I'm not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and nobody's perfect." I mean, Hannah Montana literally melted this into our brains for years. You know, nobody's perfect. Like, nobody's perfect. Right? We get this. Okay, thank you, Captain Obvious. I know this. Right? But the follow-up question is that acceptable? Right? Is that an acceptable thing? Right? Coach Spangler wants me to be perfect on the football field, but I'm not. But is that acceptable? Well, functionally, practically, no. Right? Because the moment you mess up for the whole team. Right? The moment you mess up, you've committed sin. Right? God is asking you to be perfect. God knows you're not perfect. Right? But is that acceptable? Well, the answer is no. And why is the answer no? Well, because you have to be perfect to get into heaven. Right? To be in heaven is to be present with the Lord, to be in the presence of a holy, righteous, perfect creator, God. And if you're not perfect, you're not allowed to be there. Right? That's the entire reason Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, because in Genesis chapter 3, they choose sin. And because they're not perfect anymore, they can't live in a perfect place. Right? If you are broken by sin, you can't live in a place unbroken by sin. That doesn't work. That's not possible. Right? So Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden because they choose to sin. Right? God asked them to be perfect. He said, man, you can eat literally everything that you want to except for this tree. I gave you a million ways to be obedient and one to be disobedient. Right? And they choose the one. Right? All of us would choose the one. I'm not here to shame Adam and Eve. Right? The only difference between Adam and Eve and I conceptually is timing. I would have chosen sin too. But listen to John again. My little children, I am writing these things to you. He's talking about the things he said prior, which is he's basically talking about how Jesus was a real person and all the stuff we believe in isn't just made up. He says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Right? He's not writing these things to you so you can have a warm hug. I'm not writing these things to you so that you can have an excuse when you do sin. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And you're thinking, man, that's a terrible standard because I can't be perfect. And you're right. But listen to what he says next. But if anyone does sin, right? Notice he says does, right? Even in the Greek, this is translated pretty well. Notice if anyone does sin, like he's expecting you not to, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, right? If you do sin at the end of your life, or when you repent and ask for forgiveness of that sin in the moment, right? Jesus Christ steps in on your behalf and says, no, I've got them covered. So the question that we're talking about is, does God want me to be perfect? And the answer to that is yes. And you're thinking, well, I can't be. And yes, that is the point. That's the point, right? God knows I'm not perfect. Yes, he does know that, right? And because he knows that, he sent his one and only son to die on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for your sins, right? Because if you were capable of being perfect, right? Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is a waste of everybody's time. Right? If you were capable of being perfect, right, then Jesus wouldn't need to die for you because you could just achieve that perfection. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Notice what he says next. He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. By this we know we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Right? Walking that perfect life, being a perfect person. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And how did Jesus walk? How did Jesus live his life? The answer is perfect. Now, Cooper, what are you saying? Well, I'm not saying that if you're not perfect, God hates you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying if you're a believer and you commit one sin, you're going to hell. I'm not Martin Luther, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But see, this is the beauty of the divine mystery, really, of the gospel, right? You have to be perfect to be in the presence of God, and you're not. Even if you're a Christian, you're not perfect, right? We know this. Thank you, Captain Obvious. But the problem is that you're expected to be. Right? How could I be in the presence of a perfect, holy, righteous God if I'm not perfect? Well, because a perfect person stepped in and covered you on your behalf. Right? How do I get into heaven? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. You're called to be perfect, but you can't be, but that's okay because your life is not yours to claim and your salvation is not a product of you. Right? It's a product of Christ. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But, and this is the beauty, if anyone does sin, I mean, gosh, I sin all the time. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, right? If you do sin, God himself is your advocate in heaven. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Right, John's audience when he writes the letter of 1 John is Christians. Is that the right grammar? Don't come for me if it's not. John's audience is Christians. So when he's saying this, he's talking to believers, presumably. At least people who claim to be believers. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Those who say they abide in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And that walk Jesus walked, the plug walk, was perfect. Right? Jesus was a perfect person. And if you're called to live like him, you're called to live a perfect life. Now, what does this mean from an application standpoint? Now, that means really two things. One, it means you need to try to be as perfect as possible. Now, Christianity is not a works-based faith. You achieving this some level of perfection will not save you, right? But if you are saved, you are expected to live like that. Faith without works is dead, but works are not faith. It's like a square and a rectangle. A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square. Faith, by definition, includes works, but works cannot get you faith. If you're calling yourself a believer, if you have responded to the gospel, if you think you're saved, if you know you're saved, right, your life ought to exemplify that. If you have truly met the Savior of the world, if Jesus really is Christ for you, if Jesus really is your greatest treasure, live like it. Seriously, live like it, right? I mean, if Clemson is your favorite football team, which I hate Clemson, if Clemson is your favorite football team, you'll live like it. You'll wear a Clemson shirt. You'll think Dabo's great. You'll pull for Trevor Lawrence, right? If you are a believer, live like it. Live perfectly. That's the first application point. Like, how do we take this from conceptual to applicable, right? You're called to live a perfect life, so try to, right? You're going to fail. That's when Jesus Christ steps in on your behalf, right? But you're still called to pursue it, to pursue excellence. Shout out Richard Heiser. The second application point is that this is truly the point of the gospel, that God's holding you to a standard that you could not reach. Jesus had to reach the standard for you because you're not capable of reaching the standard yourself. You're not capable. It's not possible. I'm not capable. We're not capable. That's the beauty. That's what makes salvation a gift and anointing, as John will say later in his letter. That's what makes salvation a gift and not an achievement. Because if it was an achievement, then you could go get it yourself. God will set a standard. You can go chase the standard, reach the standard, right? But you can't do that. So Jesus has to do it for you. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's why it's a gift, right? My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God for that. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 5. By this we may know that we are in Christ. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Well, God knows I'm not perfect. Yes, he does. And that's why Jesus died for your sins. So if you become a part of that promise that Jesus died for, like if you become a part of that promise that the cross represents, then you ought to be pursuing perfection and pursuing excellence because you ought to be pursuing Jesus. And to be like Jesus, to abide in Jesus, means to be perfect. And yeah, you're going to fail. But praise God for us. Praise God for me that Christ steps in on my behalf anyways. If Jesus is your greatest treasure, you'll live like it. And you know what Jesus was? He was perfect. Your CHH song of the episode is the song Cold Nights by Hulvey. Now, let me tell you, the number one criticism of Christian rap music in my lifetime has been all these guys are, you know, they're selling out to the culture. They're, you know, they're rapping about, you know, worldly things, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's a music subgenre, guys. Like, you're putting too many eggs in one basket. People who get mad about things that go on in Christian music that are not explicitly heretical, that's because you're putting too much faith in musical artists anyways. Like, Lecrae's not my pastor. He's not my pastor, okay? But I digress. So that's a different rant for a different episode. Your CHH song of the episode is Cold Nights by Hulvey. The reason why I bring up this point about Christian rap music is because if you want a guy who has come on throwing absolute spiritual punches in Christian rap music, it's this guy, right? If you want a guy who makes music that dances on the line between rap music and Christian worship music, Hulvey's your guy, right? He just had a new album come out called Christopher. That's his first name. It's really good. Hulvey has a lot of songs that are so in your face glorifying Christ, that if you want to talk junk about Christian rap artists, you can't talk junk about him. Dude is on it. It's a really good song. Highly endorse his music. I'm a big fan. Really like his voice, and that's a really good song, and I fully recommend that you check him out. That's Hulvey, The song is Cold Nights. And I would just check out his discography, man. He's a real deal. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Of course, I will reimburse you for the brain cells. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CalfChrist. You can check us out at CalfChrist.com. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Those who say they abide in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And remember, never forget that the battle is already won. Outie.